Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is another good friend of mine. She is a Tarrant County community organizer. Her name is Ms. Vandella Menifee. Vandella, how you been?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Well, let me say this right off the bat. It's always just great when I run into you at a number of these nonprofit events or a number of these fundraisers or a number of these things that are good for all the Dallas-Fort Worth community, the North Texas area. And it's always a surprise, but not surprising when I see you somewhere. In fact, I want to say, I know you keep a busy schedule, but I want to say a couple of weeks ago, I saw you at the Roland Parish Charitable Foundation Charity Golf Tournament at the Dallas Golf Club, Golf Club of Dallas, right? And tell me about what you were doing there, because that's another one of those great organizations that, you know, Roland Parish is a great philanthropist in this area, and he does so many different things, but it was great seeing you there as well. What were you up to? Because you're always giving and working.
Yes, sir. I believe for the past 5 years, maybe, that I've actually, well, the one year I wasn't able to actually attend, but I always find volunteers to assist.
Right.
And at Mr. Parrish's golf tournament, it's truly an honor to be there and meet so many new celebrities, new friends, people, other people that are doing amazing things in the community. And I believe this year they raised $100,000 for scholarships and programs for students. And he does such an amazing job in giving back to the community. So he always asks, because he is fully aware of my medical conditions, Vandell, I just need you to be there and smile and greet people, you know, as they come in. Just be there and to show your support. And that's what I really do. And it's just an honor to be there and to be a part of his organization.
He's such an unsung hero in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I've been knowing him for years and years and years. Just a few months ago, City of Dallas Park and Recreation Department, they named a park after him. They've like revitalized this area not too far from Roosevelt High School in South Dallas, Oak Cliff. And it's just a really nice area. And they had a ribbon cutting ceremony. And I know you would have been there if you had been physically fit and it didn't conflict with the doctor's appointment, right? Probably.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Doctor's appointment and therapy still continues to consume my life. But you know, I tell people I'm still blessed to be able to be here because there are so many other people who have been in my same situation, three accidents within 6 years, none of them my fault, caused by reckless drivers, and three concussions and neck injury, back injuries. And, you know, that's my life. And I'm still able to tell people that I'm blessed to be here because there's so many people who have been in one accident and was worse than all of mine. So I try to take my blessings wherever I can and continue to do whatever I can. And everybody that I deal with know my limited situation. Mm-hmm. So they are always accommodating, such as yourself. I mean, just last week we had to reschedule this, what, at least twice because of my appointment.
Right. I'm always grateful when the doctor lets you. I mean, I'm just serious. I'm always glad that you check in with the doctors so that you don't get run down. Because in all seriousness, you give and give and give and give and give. You are seriously boots on the ground as far as volunteering and being in all these different functions and giving your time and your talent. So I'm always just impressed when the doctor will let you go somewhere, let alone visit with me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the thing about it is that the activities that I'm involved in, I get invited. I just got invited to another WNBA event that's coming up next month with the former NBA Janae Walker, who used to play with the WNBA in Atlanta. And she's having a scholarship fundraiser for St. Jude. So it's just things like that. I get invited and she understands that if I cannot make it, I'm going to make sure that that seat is filled with someone who can help support the need of the organization. But I get invited, and it's truly an honor to be able to have people to reach out and ask if I can just be present. And that means so much to me, considering, you know, all of my limitations, just to be able to be present. And I appreciate the people in the Metroplex, such as people just as yourself.
Well, Vondella, your reputation speaks for itself. We're talking to community organizer Vondella Menifee, and we're gonna talk about some things as well. Like, you don't like to talk about a lot of these things, but I got to pull teeth and get it out of you. The Dallas Wings of the WNBA, just a couple of weeks ago, they honored you at halftime. Can you talk about that? Because I know that was a surprise.
Yes, sir. I was part of their ambassadors program, and with their ambassadors program, it was about bringing awareness to the Dallas Wings. And it was such an honor to just be able to tell people, you know, about the games that are coming up, how they can support the Wings and their nonprofit organization who does some amazing things. Mm-hmm. LaDondra Wilson is there. I believe she's the vice president of community relations. I'm sure I'm messing up her title, but everybody knows LaDondra over at the Dallas Wings, and she and the foundation are doing amazing things in the community with voter registration drives, backpacks, back to school, mm-hmm. all kinds of events, scholarships, you name it. She is putting it out there. And as an ambassador, we are required to bring awareness to the programs that they have. And that's just something easy for me to do because people contact me and say, Vondella, what's going on? Such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tell them a list of the things that are going on, and they continue to share it throughout the community, which helps make our community successful, because if one succeed, we all succeed. We want businesses,
exactly.
small businesses, large business to stay in our community, because it's a positive reflection and it helps the growth in our community.
Exactly. And it keeps things moving along because, again, everybody wants to help each other out. And that's how, you know, you share your growth together. And that's what bonds people and makes for not just a great street, not just a great neighborhood, not just a great part of town, but all of the community. And that's why people such as yourself are so invaluable, which is why so many people reach out to you, because like I said, your reputation precedes itself, because you not only do what you say you're going to do and say what you do this tirelessly year round. And again, since you had your being the victim of a couple of car accidents, your doctor has to slow you down because literally I don't know when you would sleep. And that's just the problem on my part. I'm going to give you some mad props and giving you your flowers. You're talking about that list of different things going on because you do have a database. I mean, you have a database of what went on and what's coming up. Before we go into what's coming up, just go over some of the things that have gone on in the last month or so that people need to be aware of what happened, and maybe they might want to be involved in their own way the next time around.
Yes, sir. In the past month, of course, we had the Roland Parish annual celebrity golf tournament. And then I had the honor of attending and receiving an award for the Tanya Benton Scholarship Fund. It's a fundraiser for Tanya Benton, who was an educator at Tarrant County College
mm-hmm.
for many years. And she passed away unexpectedly. And her husband established a scholarship for students at Tarrant County Southeast campus. And Dr. Andy Bone, who is a new president of Tarrant County College, did the honor as the president of welcoming everyone mm-hmm. and just talking about what he had heard about Ms. Benton. And it was such an amazing event. Mayor Williams was there, and we had another gentleman that was there who gave a very generous donation to the organization. And
very nice.
It was such an amazing event, and it was well received. It was called Red Dress, Red Tie, and many of the guests had on red dresses, and the gentlemen, the men had on red tuxedo, red ties or neckties, but it was a great event. And there was also, for probably about 7 years, I served on the board of the Lowe Foundation. And the Lowe Foundation is another organization that provides scholarships to students in the Metroplex. And they had their annual Hands in Hands health fair. And I believe they serviced almost 600 people in the community. And it was held at Asia Times Square. And I'd like to personally thank my friend, my brother, whom I call my brother, my concussion is kicking, Matthew Lowe, for donating the space. He is such a giver in the community when it comes to helping nonprofit organizations. And I cannot say enough about him. I believe they had probably like 60-something healthcare providers there.
Wow.
The Black Heart Association was there giving screenings for healthcare. They were there doing dental screening, teeth cleaning. It was just so many providers there, and the food was amazing. Oh, my God. The food was amazing. And that was just another event, you know, that I was asked to come out and just shake the hands of the people that was there. And I met so many different people that was doing amazing things in the community. And then, of course, we had National Night Out, which has been celebrated for the past 40 years across the country. Normally, it's done in August, but in Texas, of course, with the heat, we always celebrate October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in partnership with the city police departments and the fire departments. And it's just a time where we're saying that we're taking our cities back, and people in the community have a big block party, and they just have a good time of people getting to know their neighbors. And shout out to Mayor Jensen and all the city council of Grand Prairie, Chief Sesney, Chief Fight, for doing an amazing job with the National Night Out in Grand Prairie. We also had Commissioner Simmons. She stopped by. We had Constable Sandra Lee, several of the city councilmen, Junior Rizzano, Bessie Adams, that came by. It was amazing. I think the city of Grand Prairie had like 18 events in total.
Wow.
That had signed up to be a part of it.
You know, in this community, yes, Grand Prairie is like a sleeping giant. I mean, if anybody's been over to that Epic Park they got everything right off of 161, let alone go all the way down to Joe Pool Lake, let alone go all the way up to past 30 by Irving. Grand Prairie, low key.
It's growing.
My goodness. And I didn't even get to the different things off of Beltline in 30, the different events.
It is growing. They actually had an event called Meet, M-E-A-T, on Main. And that was a couple of Saturdays ago,
I heard
a car show, and I heard that event was amazing as well. They had several restaurants that came and provided their specialty meats, and I heard that the crowd was amazing. They had DJ Mark Lau, who has the Grand Prairie Skate Park,
right there
off of the line. Yes, did you know that? What is this rapper's name? He came and skated at his park. Lil Wayne.
You're kidding. Lil Wayne came into town? Wow.
Yes, sir. He was in, but he was in town for something. And
but he went by there on his way because he's like, okay, I can skate. I'm going to go by the skate park.
He came after the park was closed. He contacted Mark Lau, who was the owner, and he brought some of his friends, and they skated to like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
That is something else. Lil Wayne is like an icon in the rap world. I mean, he's unbelievable.
He is.
Wheezy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Amelie. That is great.
So, and I was like, he was in our town?
Yeah, I mean, what happens is a lot of people come into town, not necessarily to perform, but they'll be in town just hanging out, or they might be recording.
Yes.
And then you never know. They wind up showing up someplace that, wow, there's someone. I remember, I'm not making this up, you know, Selena Gomez grew up in Grand Prairie.
Yes, she did.
And Selena Gomez, in the day, it wasn't even that far along. It was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I kid you not. I was at Top Golf with my family. This was on a Friday evening. And I swear, Selena Gomez came in there and was doing Top Golf with The Weeknd. The Weeknd. They were dating, apparently. And it was like, because I was like, look down there. That's Selena Gomez and The Weeknd. And they were there together at Top Golf, and it actually made the paper.
Wow. You know, she graduated. She attended
Danny Jones.
Yes, Danny Jones. Yes, Danny Jones in Cabinets Elementary School.
Yep. She actually snuck into town just a couple of years ago. My son attended Danny Jones when we were living out there.
Oh, wow.
Way.
And my son attended Cabinets Elementary School.
Look out. So when she came to town, you know, kids got phones nowadays. So he's texting, Daddy, you won't believe this. Selena Gomez is here. It was a secret, quiet visit. They shut down the whole school because she just wanted to come back to see her former grade school.
I remember that day. It was amazing.
It was just about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah.
Social media blew up.
Yeah. So yeah, Grand Prairie, low key, is epic.
Yes, it is. It is. Have you heard of the boxer Virgil Ortiz?
Yeah, of course. He lives in Grand Prairie.
Yes, he does. He Virgil was born Ortiz. And raised in Grand Prairie. He's mm-hmm. a good friend of mine as well.
Oh, good. Yeah, he lives over in the Miralagos area.
Yes, I believe so. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. He loves Grand Prairie.
Oh, yeah.
We are so proud
of
him. I'm
telling you, Grand Prairie, low key, people have no idea.
Yes.
It's
and
epic.
Another up-and-coming singer is Monica Saldivar.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Tejano singer from
okay.
Grand Prairie. I mean, Grand Prairie has some amazing people. Just like we have Michelle Carter, who's the
Olympic shot putter.
She lives in Grand Prairie now.
Look out. I thought she was living in Red Oak forever.
I know, right? But we're blessed to have her in our community. As a matter of fact, she has an organization. It's called The Legends.
Yes.
And they have an event that's coming up in October. And she was telling me about that. And I'm helping, you know, to spread the word about that event that's coming up.
So check this out. Talk about small world. I kid you not. I was just talking to her about that last week. And I'm going to have her on this show when we get closer to that date towards the end of this month. I just I was talking to Michelle.
Yes. And I think it's the 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to get all the details from Michelle. Again, for those who don't know, we're talking about Michelle Carter, who is an Olympic gold medalist in the shot put a few years ago. Her dad, Michael Carter, also was Olympic gold medalist in the shot put, and he also won the Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers. So that family got some special genes. They are athletic.
They do.
And they are from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They're here in North Texas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's truly an honor to be able to know, you know, all these people right here in mm-hmm. our community. And with her bringing the Legends Weeknd here to the area, it's going to be an incredible event.
So what else has gone on before we get into what is about to happen during this next month or so?
Let me see. Oh, there was it was the Epic Fest. Epic, yes, it was the Epic Fest. Well, actually, Michelle was part of that too.
In Grand Prairie,
where they had about 500 participants, and they had a day of health and wellness right there in Grand Prairie at the mm-hmm. Epic Lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that was an amazing event. I was supposed to attend that event, but my body was not.
The doctor said, no, you can't. You always have to defer to the doctor because the doctor's trying to keep you here with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tried to limit my activities to like one activity a week, which helped. I mean, I get invited to several events.
Yes,
and when
you do.
I do and I am unable to attend, I will tell people, I will share the information. And mm-hmm. most of the time when I share it, people say, okay, I can attend this event, I can support this event, I'll share it. And that's how you actually get the word out.
Exactly. This is you do it the old fashioned way, not just send it on emails and social media. You do it word of mouth.
I am horrible with social media. I am a direct text. I can text quicker than I can do anything else. And with a text message, it's personal and it's at your own time.
Mm-hmm.
My social media, it's not in the rhythm or whatever you need to keep people looking at your
the
social
algorithm.
Media. That's not me. That is not me. I'm horrible with social
Well,
media.
You're such a wonderful person that people just love to see you whenever you are at these different events. So let's talk about what's coming up, what's on the schedule. And I know you're going to try to make these, but your doctor is going to also have the final word. So you just talk about what's coming
yes,
up
sir.
And maybe some of the people who are listening, they will either be going to it or they say, oh, I think I need to go. I want to participate.
Yes, sir. Nikki, the city councilman, Nikki Hunter, Miss, I always call him Miss Nikki Hunter, they're having a cancer awareness on October, I think it's this Saturday, at the Bob Duncan. It's going to be on Saturday at the Bob Duncan, Recreation Center.
Okay.
And there are several cancer awareness events that are going on. I know UTA is hosting one for their students. My friend Dr. Henry is going to be a part of that. I just connected the students with her, and she's going to be a part of their panel. So that should be a great event. And, of course, we have coming up at the end of the month, the Legends Weekend. And at Asia Times Square, they're having an Asian Fest on the 12th of October, and it's all Asian food that's from around the mm-hmm. world. It's called Palenque.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to hear some good food, I mean, eat some good food hear some good music, go to Asia Times Square. I'm telling you, you can get anything that you want that day.
Now, where is Asia Times Square located?
Asia Times Square is on the corner of Great Southwest and Pioneer Parkway.
In Grand Prairie.
In Grand Prairie, yes, sir. It used to be a Sam's Club and a Sam's Club and a Walmart. And they've converted that building and you would not recognize what it is.
Speaking of Asian Times Square. Today,
yes, it's on Pioneer Parkway.
Yes, today as we speak, as this show is being aired later today, if you want to get out and about, Cowboys are playing on a Sunday night football. You might have some things after church. You have nothing to do. You're not necessarily doing anything. Head to Irving, because in Irving, it is the 10th annual Chinese Dragon Boat Festival, Kite Flying and Lantern. I emceed that for 8 years in a row. And the Marco Polo World Foundation puts it on, and they have all these different events. They have all the different foods. They got all the different food trucks set up. They've got people performing and dancing, kids flying kites. They got, like I said, competitive teams that are doing these dragon boat races on Lake Caroline.
Yes, it's an amazing event.
It
yes.
is. And the weather's going to be perfect.
The honor of yes, I'm telling you, the boats that they put together it's incredible.
And it's incredible because the different boat teams, they're like firefighters, sometimes the law enforcement, sometimes it's just corporate teams. It's all youth ministers. I mean, you'd be surprised. Anybody who thinks they can do these rowing competitions and these dragon boats. And it's just amazing to watch. And it's like picnic weather. They used to have it in May. And then all of a sudden, you know, the last few years, May has had all this dicey weather with the storms coming through all the time.
Yes,
so they
sir.
Moved it to October. And fortunately for them, the Cowboys are playing at night, because sometimes the Cowboys are playing in the day and that kind of throws people off because they want to do both, watch both or go to the game.
Yes, sir.
There's no reason not to. Later today, as this program is broadcasting, you just head on over to Lake Caroline and Las Colinas and just enjoy yourself, because the weather's going to be great. The kites are going to be flying. The kids are going to be playing. They got the food trucks. They got the tents. They got the food. They got the performances going on the stage. It's just absolutely amazing. And it lasts until like the morning all the way until like 5 PM. So just head on over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's later today. So what else have you got on the agenda coming up?
Well, of course, we're back in Tarrant County in the city of Grand Prairie. Most people have not heard of Epic Waters, the indoor water park there in Grand Prairie.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, it is the largest indoor water park, I believe, in Texas, but I think another one is being built. But anyway, they have been having this annual event called Flowapalooza, where they have the indoor water sports that people come from around the world to participate. And this year they're having it for 2 days, and it's going to be October 26th and the 27th. And it's going to be an amazing event. You get to meet so many people from around the world who come to compete in the indoor water sports. And they're going to have food trucks, entertainment, and it's another 2-day event that's going to be going on.
That's fantastic. Again, Epic. Grand Prairie is just epic anyway, but that whole Epic Waters area, the whole Epic, everything. They've got a chicken and waffles. No, they got the chicken and pickle.
Yeah,
the chicken and pickle over there. They got the pickleball over there. They got all kinds of stuff.
Yes, sir. I think they're planning. They had a pickleball tournament earlier this year, but I think it's become so popular, they're going to do another one sometime in November, I believe.
It's so popular, they've had to add more parking spaces and parking lots and parking garages just for everybody going over there playing a pickleball. I kid you not.
Yes, sir.
I kid you not. Grand Prairie's got a lot of stuff going on, especially in that Epic area, the Epic district.
Yes, sir. The manager over there, the manager over there at Pickleball is doing amazing. Paul Pena is his name. And he's doing an amazing job. He actually has something that he does for scholarships for students as well. So, you know, I'm glad about the business who are actually giving back to help the students in our community. And those are the people that I enjoy spreading the word about, because they're giving back to our community, because our kids are our future.
They really are. Is there anything else before? I'm not going to wrap this thing up yet, but I want to find out, is there anything else that we need to be aware of before I ask you one more personal question?
Nothing that I can think of. I tried to write down everything that came to mind in anticipation of our call, but it's, and even while we're on this call, I just got 2 text messages about Call Me, which means that there's probably an event that's coming up.
Oh, yes.
I can talk about something that's going to be in the future in July of 2025. I will be a part of the NFL Moms, and they are doing every other year. They rotate where they have their annual event and they give back to the community. So in 2025, the NFL Moms will be hosting the Dallas chapter will be hosting an event in the Metroplex, and we are in meetings right now planning the event, and it's going to be amazing. And it's just moms who have sons who are in the NFL, and it's an annual event for them, and they provide funds or scholarships to a nonprofit organization in the community as part of their give back.
And they do so, I mean, low-key, they do a lot of things so, so well. Because, again, it's all about community. Everything we're doing is basically all about community.
Yes, sir.
You know what? We talked about the philanthropist Roland Parrish. And the thing that's so wild about Roland is he does so many things low-key. And he's one of the largest McDonald's franchise owners in the state of Texas. I mean, he's one.
Yes, sir.
But he's very low-key, and he's always done these wonderful things. And he's actually going to be honored by the Dallas Morning News. And I don't know if you heard about this. It's an award.
Wow.
It's an award called the Lens Award. He's going to be honored in a luncheon at the Anatole Hotel on Friday, November the 8th. And it's a big luncheon. It's called the 95th Annual Lens Award winner. And it's presented by the Dallas Morning News. And it's all about his philanthropic efforts that he's done throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Even he's even built a hospital in Africa. I mean, that's how
amazing
he is.
In Kenya.
In Kenya, exactly. And again, you mentioned all the scholarship money he's raised for kids, and he's always low-key funded a lot of different nonprofits. So he's going to be honored by the Dallas Morning News. He is the 95th recipient of the Lens Award. So congratulations to Roland Parrish.
It's well-deserved. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. He deserved it.
So my final question for you is, and this is the personal question, again, the doctors got you on a leash. We don't want you to burn yourself out. You're fighting through all these different car injuries that people keep hitting you. So my question for you is, I know, are you still driving?
No, sir. I have not driven since 2017.
That's what I was about to say. I cannot imagine you wanting to get behind the wheel when it seems like out of the blue, somebody tries to hit you. Well, I know this. We are so glad to have you involved in the community because you are a source of energy. You are a blessing. And again, thank you again, Tarrant County Community Organizer Vandella Menifee, for joining us today. Vandella, we're going to be in touch again. And I know I'm going to see you somewhere because I always do. Thanks for joining
us. Yes, sir. Thank you again for having me.
And joining us right now is a guest I've been dying to talk to. She is a visionary. She is the CEO and founder of Black to the Lab, a STEM educational learning toy designed to expose young girls to science, technology, engineering, and math. Kristen Wells Lewis, how you doing?
I am doing phenomenal. How about you?
I called you a visionary because I've been meaning to talk to you and sit down and talk to you from the first couple of times I first met you and saw you in action. For those who don't know, you're not only a visionary, but you're an entrepreneur and founder of Black to the Lab, which is dedicated, of course, to inspiring young girls in science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM. But what blows my mind is that you have a degree in chemistry and a master's degree in community development from PV A&M. We're talking about Prairie View. And by the way, congratulations, Prairie View, beating Grambling in five overtimes at the Cotton Bowl, the football game. Five overtimes. In fact, the game turned out to be better than halftime, which, you know, halftime be killing.
I agree. It turned out to be better than halftime. Five overtimes is a testament to the perseverance of a Panther, and I'm so proud to be one.
There you go. Well, Kristen, first of all, I mentioned all your accolades. How in the world did you come up with the idea to come up with Black to the Lab? First of all, tell me about the idea, and then we're going to tell everybody exactly what it is, because I've seen your presentation on this.
All right. So Black to the Lab, it really stemmed from an absence. So oftentimes when people hear that I'm a chemistry major, I majored in chemistry at Prairie View, it seems like it should connect, but it really came from a huge disconnect. When I started undergraduate school, I thought that I was going to be a pharmacist. And maybe my sophomore year, I realized that I didn't want to be a pharmacist, and that's an entirely different story. But when we start to talk about what you learn about industries, it kind of changes your perspective in terms of what you want to contribute to the industry. So what can I contribute to this space? And am I still passionate about the space if it isn't what I thought it was going to be?
Oh, slow down just a minute. Slow down just a minute, because I think you're saying something here. Are you talking about you found out about Big Pharma?
You know, I didn't want to say it because it's radio, but I learned about Big Pharma.
Yeah, you learned that there's so many things that go into just this more than just what you think. And that's why I'm actually really proud of Mark Cuban with his low-cost drugs program, getting people their medicines and stuff for just virtually what the cost of creating them. And that's just so, because I've watched so many different news stories about Big Pharma. We're not going to go into the details, but you got discouraged about, wait a minute, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And so you decided to do something better.
Yeah, I decided to do something different. And funny enough, we talk about what Mark Cuban is doing to disrupt the industry. I remember I was watching the commercial, and you get to the end of the different medical commercials, and it kind of rattles off the different side effects. And I remember sharing a story with my mother, and it was a disruption story about how I plan to disrupt the industry, but I think I thought that that was what I was supposed to do as a pharmacist. And she quickly asked me, you know, well, how long do you plan to be a pharmacist? She was like, because I don't think that works quite like that.
Yeah, they got it down to science.
And I don't think she was saying it to discourage me. I think she was
just trying to keep it real.
I think she was asking the questions that as mentors and parents that we should ask our kids when they share interest in something, not to discourage them, but to continue to help them find their way. And you that's what she did. That question.
You know what? I swear you were saying you were watching the commercial and everybody sees those commercials. They're talking about whatever this pharmaceutical drug is. It's going to make you feel better or whatever. And then while the commercial's going on and everybody's kind of dancing or having a good time, and then all of a sudden they say, it could cause this, it could cause that, it could cause this, suicide and nightmares. I'm like, real what? Fast. And then they show you the brand name on there and everybody's dancing and having a good time. And I'm like, wait a minute. They just said you might be able to, psychosis. So you said, wait a minute, I don't want to get in on that. That's not what you're trying to get in on.
Yeah. And so at that point, right. So I decided that I wasn't going to be a pharmacist, and all of this exposure came through my sorority. I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Okay. The Deltas.
As you all know, like we're heavily involved in our social action footprint, and I got an opportunity to attend our legislative conference, and I was really learning about the political impact of a lot of different industries and the way that we can disrupt through policy changes, voting, being active participants in our civic engagement process. And that allowed me to explore more of what I was passionate about. And so I did a variation of different things to continue to explore that passion. And I told myself that I'm going to finish because I know that I love science, but I'm also going to do more. I'm going to serve more. And through that service, it allowed me to align my passion. And so I always used to say as a servant leader, you know, that passion and purpose collide, but you have to do both. Mm-hmm. And I graduated from undergraduate school and I was working for the city of Dallas and really learned about the infrastructure of Dallas and learning about all of the different things that were kind of happening in Dallas. And I had a niche of continuing to serve, and all of my service impacted Black girls. But at the same time, simultaneously, this is around 2019, we see the rise of the natural hair care movement. And see, we see brands that are owned by Black women who have, you know, products that are formulated by Black women. Mm-hmm. We see them finally take light at the forefront. So you see Carol's Daughters continue to boom, and you see the emergence of Mayel Organics and the Lip Bar and so many different companies, Honey Pot. And I started to do some of my own formulations just from a mere allergy. Like I have a citrus allergy. And so I started to kind of create my own products. And this is where I noticed that I had the ability to formulate that came directly from the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And while I hadn't connected those two industries at all, I was reminded of one conversation that I had with a professor when I was having a hard time in organic chemistry. And anybody who has majored in chemistry or took any chemistry class will tell you that organic chemistry will make or break you. And I went to my professor and I asked him, you know, how can I study better? I feel like I'm not getting it. I'm not connecting it. I'm not seeing the connection. And this particular professor, Dr. Brown, he's so real, but he's so funny. But you have to pick up what he's putting down. And he said, all of the makeup that you wear, all of the lip gloss and all of the hair products that you use as a woman, that is probably the best way that you can make that connection. And at that particular time, because I was trying to finish school, I really just, you know, I heard him, but I don't think that I heard.
Yeah.
Him in that moment.
But you were just keeping it in mind, but not really. It didn't. The light bulb didn't switch on right there.
It didn't switch on because nobody else had flickered any other lights in that same conversation. But when I started to formulate and I decided, okay, well, I'm going to start my own brand. Right. And I had a subscription box where I was formulating different products and we were using different plant-based ingredients. And at the time I was studying community development where we were talking about the intersection of health and food deserts. And at every turn, my connection to what I was passionate about in each industry was that Black women and Black girls were being underserved. When mm-hmm. we talk about the pharmaceutical industry, you see Black women and Black girls being underserved or overserved for that matter. But when we talk about health and we talk about food deserts, particularly here in Dallas, you see Black women and Black girls continue to be underserved. When we talk about education, you see Black women and Black girls continue to be underserved. And so I wanted to continue to find ways to make those connections to be of service as a Black woman. And one day as I'm formulating, I was like, oh my God, I skipped over this entire industry. I started to learn about cosmetic chemists and that, hello, a scientist is the person that creates these products. At this time, we see the emergence of these Black brands because people start to desire more natural products. You right. know, what's safe for Black women? What doesn't have, mm-hmm. you know, carcinogens? And then when we talk about how Black women are being impacted with breast cancer because of the hair products that they are using. And so I started to dive into the industry, and what first felt very discouraging for me, because I was just really wishing, like, oh my God, I wish someone would have told me earlier, because, you know, I feel like I could really put a dent in this. I reposition my thoughts, like, and I felt God really encouraging me to reposition my thoughts is to not forget about the underserved
right.
or the Black women and Black girls.
Right.
And shockingly, looking at the industry, it is not made up of women at all. And you see even less Black women in the industry.
Is that and right? So, you're kidding me.
That is absolutely
as
correct.
Many cosmetic products that Black women use and buy.
And they don't
have that many. Wow. So this is what I love what you're talking about, because you're basically talking about the cosmetic chemistry concepts that allow cosmetic items such as lip gloss, body scrubs, lotion, all these different things be available. And you're like, well, let me make these available, but also help people at the same time and not rip them off.
Right, right. Let me help them learn. You know, yes. in that era, the company was called The Chemistry Of, and we would break down each major ingredient in the subscription box that was being featured. So we were featuring ingredient. Like one month we featured pumpkin. Mm-hmm. And the goal was to, you know, you use these different products, but you also learn the benefits of pumpkin seed, pumpkin oil from a cosmetic perspective. And also just helping people enjoy it. And I remember that moment where God reminded me not to forget that I have called you to serve this particular audience. And I was like, you know what? I think we have enough brands on the market, and surely there can be more. But I'm like, mm-hmm. I think that Black women have this part on lock where we can create the thing and bring it to life. I want to go back to the Black girl that I once was, that never knew that this existed, so that we can have more Black women who can contribute to the formulation space to ensure that we're buying products that are safe for us, mm-hmm. that are intended for us, and that we're not just being seen as consumers only, that we only right. get brought to the table when it's time to consume and purchase, but that our value is being contributed to the production space. And I used two of our base formulations, and I pulled some different things from Amazon, and I sourced different things and put it in a little box. And I tested it out at a birthday party because I really wanted to see if kids would grasp the concept, if they cared about the concept, or if it was too far-fetched, because I was still trying to find my audience at that point. But I knew that I wanted young Black girls to be able to experience this.
And you want to make sure it wasn't over their heads.
It wasn't
and
over
it
their
was, and it was something that they would gravitate towards. They wouldn't be, absolutely. And I don't really care about the stuff like that. You yeah. want to make sure it's something yeah. that they say, well, you know what? I care about this. And guess what? I can create with this as well.
I can create. I can do this. That,
yeah.
And it starts with seeing yourself in that space. Mm-hmm. When we look at the numbers and why girls in general are underrepresented in STEM overall, it's typically a lack of connection. They've lost interest around fifth to sixth grade. Studies also show that the offerings and what's being offered to boys versus what's being offered to girls is a little bit different. And so we see that gap. And so this was an opportunity to open the eyes to a new but old market, but also make a connection that directly impact them at that age and beyond. I remember I interviewed with another magazine, And I won't share the magazine because she hasn't shared this story publicly, but she shared with me that when she was in seventh grade, she had to do a science project on the effectiveness of a product, and she chose mascara. And she was, you know, she said at that time I was wearing mascara. It was the only, you know, makeup that I could use. And my parents really didn't want me to use it because it would just run everywhere. And it was just, you know, you mm-hmm, ever seen a woman mm-hmm. with her mascara running and her eyes start to be black? And she said, I wanted to do my science project on how we could make it more effective. And when we look at how mascara is marketed in 2024, that is the core component to which mascara I'm going to buy. Mm-hmm. Is it going to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Just something as simple as, is it going to stay? Is it going to stay? Is it going to extend my lashes and give me that look and feel without it running all over my face? Mm-hmm. And that idea from a seventh grader was shot down.
What?
And that is a game changer to the mascara industry today. Something that simple.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes you have to look at the, we call it a plot. What do you call it? When they say it's a plot.
The plot twist.
Yeah, the plot twist, or even, you know, a conspiracy theory. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Some of these companies, maybe they don't want it to be fixed because that means that they won't buy the product anymore, buy less of it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to wonder why certain things don't get fixed when they could get fixed. It's like, well, then you don't need this anymore.
I think it does help with overconsumption, but I think from this perspective, we're talking about a student in class.
Yeah, they just didn't appreciate the student having that wisdom.
Yeah, they did. They didn't have that wisdom themselves. They hadn't made that connection.
So
they had made the connection to empower, you know, that idea.
So you decided, let me go ahead and see if I can, on the STEM level with young girls, show them, we're talking about science, technology, engineering, math, how they can be a part of the cosmetic industry since they are consumers of it to such great degree. Mm-hmm. And as they get older, they will be more and more consumers of it. It's like, okay. I love the way you're thinking about this, Kristen, because we're talking again to Kristen Wells Lewis. She's an entrepreneur and founder of Black to the Lab. I like the way you're thinking about this because in this day and age, there's so many things changing, you know, in the world of consuming product and how people envision things and how they do things in their lives with the advent of social media and YouTube and people working at home in the gig economy. It's like it's there for you if you're able to conceive it. So with those things in mind, I just think what you're doing is so smart because people are not doing work at the factory anymore. I don't want to work at the factory or a corporation for 20 years like my parents and grandparents did and get a gold watch. So are you getting some kind of positive feedback that way as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the feedback is positive and it's also expansive because the goal really is to allow them to see this space.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring their ideas and their innovations and their contributions to the space.
So let's talk about the space real quick. We've been talking about Black to the Lab, and I said it's some toys. Kind of paint some pictures of what you have, this opportunity you have created for young girls.
Absolutely. So Black to the Lab itself is a STEM educational learning toy where the goal is to expose young girls to STEM's impact on the cosmetic industry. So in our first activity kit, they get a chance to formulate both the lip gloss and the body scrub, but they're also learning the science behind it. We include a lab book, a lab badge. All of our equipment replicates actual lab equipment so that they can make that connection when they see different things in the classroom. When I see a beaker in the classroom, I remember, I played with that, you know, in my activity kit. Mm-hmm. We also have vocabulary cards to make that connection between some of the lab equipment as well, because we know that science lab equipment is pretty standard.
Right.
But if I can make a connection to something that I enjoyed at home that I may have played with or something that I
they're comfortable with it. They're familiar.
Yeah. I know what I'm doing and I know I can ask more questions about this thing that I've, you know, I saw it before. Sure. I've touched it before.
It's kind of like being familiar with a tablet as a small child. Yep. And all of a sudden you're going to school and you got tablets and laptops and computers.
Yep. Yep. That's the goal, is that early exposure. And so through our activity kits, like I said, we really lean into exposing them to the idea of the cosmetic industry. The industry, there are formulators in the industry, there are people who do quality analysis, there are people who do research and development, there are people who do marketing and branding and so on and so forth. So once we gain the interest in the initial space, the idea is that we expand on that interest. So we travel to different schools and organizations and we do our in-person activations. And our in-person activations lend to that conversational component where they're able to ask those questions about what's next from here. And that looks different based on the age, right? Mm-hmm. We may have an elementary group where we're talking to them about how to get engaged when they get to middle school and how to join STEM clubs and make sure that in these clubs that you're doing projects that you enjoy and how to introduce those concepts. And then the same for high school, that you're participating in science fairs and science clubs and joining youth organizations. And now we're in a space where we're having this huge conversation between that transition from K through 12 to undergrad. Most people don't know that there are not a lot of universities in the country that offers a bachelor's degree in cosmetic science formulation.
Wow. I didn't know that. Yes.
There's only actually one that offers a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few different universities who may offer master's or PhD level programs that you can get into and different certificate type programs. But there's only one. And then there's now we have Spelman College, who is offering a minor, which is a huge deal because they're the first HBCU to break into this space. Mm-hmm. And we're having this conversation around how this space impacts Black women and the need to see more Black women. What better place than to create a breeding ground at Spelman College?
And you know what? You know what? You mentioned Spelman. Spelman's in Atlanta, right?
Yep, it's in Atlanta.
That is the epicenter for hair care for Black women in America. I kid you not. I saw Chris Rock's movie. I know. I'm joking, but I'm serious.
I know it's true, right? We're talking about the home of like hair shows. I remember when I was growing up, my aunts who were beauticians would travel to like these really big hair shows, and you would meet all these friends and companies and get these professional salon grade products, but you offered the creativity and the show and the style. So we know that Atlanta brings something special to the space. Mm-hmm. Especially the voice of not just Black people, but Black women.
Yeah.
And that's really where we are. So in these conversations, we talk about all of the different industries that intersect with the cosmetic chemistry industry in hopes that it will inspire a young girl to say, hey, I actually like science. I may want to go into cosmetic science, or I may want to be more on the engineering side where I am focusing on packaging and design. And I may want to be a chemical engineer or a structural engineer and so on and so forth. Or there's people who say, I really want to focus on the messaging. Do I want to be a scientific communicator? Do I want to be in marketing and branding? And then all of the different companies that offer so much to the research and development space, which is one of the most important spaces. You get to find a home in these conversations. The goal is that they'll find a home in the industry that we didn't know exists.
Oh, I can just see that. And again, I'm just so amazed at what you've been able to put together. You've been working on this. How long have you been working on this? Because again, and then I want you, and also ask you, also I want you to talk about some of the accolades and the awards you have received and some of the grants and whatnot. Because this is people who are listening to this show, they are very impressed with a lot of the people who are getting things done and having an impact in North Texas. So please tell your story.
Oh, yes. So we've been working on this since 2020 in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was I kept just, you know, doing a little bit of work and doing a little bit of research and kind of putting it to the side and doing a little bit more work. Mm-hmm. And then I would ask questions here and there because I was working in the youth development space. And so I was really just learning and building. And then in 2021, my sorority again. I mean,
Delta
really has has paved the way for me. But they hosted a pitch competition. It was their version of Shark Tank called Delta Red Tank. And I was nervous to apply because it wasn't the idea wasn't finished yet. But the biggest difference in this pitch competition was it was separated into categories of startup businesses and existing businesses, which meant that you could pitch the idea.
Nice.
And I know that God made that so special for me to be able to go into that space, because I went in and I had the full idea that you see that has come to life today. I literally just had it in words. And then we had the little box that we put together based on pulling some different items from Amazon that we had sourced ourselves as really just a prototype. And I pitched, and that first pitch, we took the earnings. I won first place. It was $25,000. And we were able to establish a manufacturer relationship because wow. I knew that I wanted it to be safe. I wanted it to look like a toy. I wanted it to feel like a toy. I wanted it to feel like science and not just a play set. Mm-hmm. And I knew that manufacturer relationship was going to be important to what we were doing, which meant that I needed to have money.
So right.
That first investment went into that space. And we have been working and growing and tweaking and development since that day. We sold our first activity kit 2 years ago today. So we, well, not today, 2 years ago, this past week on September 28th.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you so much. On September the 28th, 2020, was that 21 or 2022. And we sold our first activity kit that day on the 28th. And then the following day, I won another pitch competition. And that pitch competition helped us establish a relationship with Amazon. And so we were able to again take the money.
Oh boy. That
we won. We reinvested it. And then we established a relationship with Amazon. And we've been growing in that space since as well. And so I pitch often, mainly to get the idea out, to get the experience, to continue to grow. One of the biggest things that impacts Black women-owned companies, and we see this happen in the beauty space and a lot of different spaces as well, is the need for capital.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike other companies that can have large VC backings and capital infusions that come from families or banks or whatever, mm-hmm. Black women don't always get that opportunity. And so that's why I really appreciate what the Dallas Mavericks are doing and all of the other organizations who are really leaning into creating opportunities for women-owned companies and Black-owned companies to be able to have a space to not only share their ideas, but also not just get mentorship, but also that sponsorship. So exactly. I always say that mentorship is a space to get answers and sponsorship is a space to get money.
We appreciate your time, talent, and treasure. And treasure. And I also like the fact that Black to the Lab is now being a part of some programs and workshops at different schools and community organizations. Can you touch on that briefly?
Yeah, so this is actually probably my most favorite part of Black to the Lab. I always say 80% of what I do is more administrative, running the business. And mm-hmm. about 20% is when I get a chance to get out in front of these young girls. And so we've had the opportunity to travel to Virginia Tech, St. Mary's Academy in New Orleans. We've gone to schools in Philadelphia. We've gone to places wow. in Houston. We spent this past summer in A-Leaf ISD. Most recently, we had a chance to present at the Girl Evolve Conference, which is the youth version of Woman Evolve, hosted by Sarah Jakes Roberts mm-hmm. here in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. And so it's been so amazing. That's typically what we do year round, is travel from different schools. And then we've worked with Girl Scouts and we've worked with Jack and Jill and all of these different organizations who really, you know, lean into the mission of creating opportunities in STEM for the audiences that they serve. And so we are really like the added bonus, right? Mm-hmm. I always just love to see the look and the excitement on young girls' face when they realize, I just created something.
That is so amazing. Where is the website again? Tell people where they can find the website and more information about Black to the Lab.
For sure. You can find us at www.blacktothelab.com. And then, of course, we are at Black to the Lab on all social media platforms. We're more present on Instagram, but we are working on adding content to our TikTok and Facebook pages as well. But we are really active. And so every time we get questions or inquiries, I try my best to try to respond to those questions and inquiries and share different opportunities and resources. Also, I did fail to mention that at Girl Evolve, we awarded our first scholarship. And so that's another thing that you can look on for us on the horizon with is continuing to offer scholarships for those young girls who are transitioning from K through 12 to undergraduate programs. But we're excited. We're on the move. It's an exciting time for us. We're getting ready to launch some new items.
Ooh.
So it's been really, really good. And we've been really blessed.
Well, Kristen Wells Lewis, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to thank all of you for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.